Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, director of the World Ocean Observatory. Hurricane Irene stirred up the Atlantic coast of the United States like a woman on a mission. Constant, determined, and straightforward, Irene passed along the most populated axis of American demography, from North Carolina through the Chesapeake and Delaware Bays, on to Long Island and New York City, and up the Hudson and Connecticut rivers through central New England, without compromise. She left billions in damages behind, millions without power, and infrastructure disruptions that will take months to repair or reconstruct. Railbeds, highways, local roads, and bridges were eroded and washed away in extremes unforeseen by their designers and builders. Ironically, some are describing the storm as an anticlimax, a disappointment instilled by less than catastrophic outcomes. Those who manage the warnings, evacuations, and preventative actions that certainly save lives are being criticized, even vilified, for having taken, quote, too much precaution, unquote. Most of us were relieved, some of us more than family and friends who died. Many of us know someone who was damaged. It was not a 100-year storm, that is, it was not the hurricane with the highest winds or the most destruction, but it was nevertheless seriously instructive by revealing vulnerabilities and wrecking structures that were long overdue for preventative maintenance or replacement. What Irene showed us is how water, pushed by wind, amplified by wave, accelerated by current, empowered by a function of 10, can provide important information of the design parameters for rebuilding or future construction of systems required to support an ever-increasing population moving from the heartland to the coast. I suspect it is possible, using satellite imagery and visualization overlays, to map those parameters by measuring how far floodwaters penetrated inland, where roads were washed away, how bridges were underbuilt and flood controls failed, how dams dangerously impeded free flow, where erosion showed the limits of runoff protection, how stormwater systems were incapacitated, how sewage treatment plants were overwhelmed, how new construction in the coastal zone is already wrongly engineered, how insurance protections and financing are illogically conceived and allocated, and how our rush to restore it all to exactly what it was is hasty and foolish. In truth, we should conclude from Irene that the physical infrastructure of the East Coast of the United States, built on mid-20th century social needs, economic circumstance, and outdated technology, is seriously inadequate to the demands of the present and future. Are we really going to continue to fill the remaining swamps and wetlands that are natural buffers for just such a phenomenon? Will we continue to put oil and chemical storage tanks in the most floodable coastal locations? Must we always rely on fossil fuel or nuclear generating stations along shore where they are as devastatingly vulnerable to flood and wave as they are to earthquake or terrorism? Do we have to build our highways and rail lines along the coast? Must we continue to insure private property with public money, providing federal flood insurance on beach houses that will inevitably be damaged or destroyed again soon? Is there any logic to any of this anymore? Can we ever learn from experience? We're going to spend enormous sums to repair the damage, but how? Given the financial circumstances of our nation, given the unemployment, given the recognition of the need to rebuild basic transportation and distribution systems along the East Coast, one wonders if this is not the provocation we need, not just to rebuild as was, but to build new as needed, to use the best planning methods, to shift to the newest technologies, to relocate old coastal functions to new inland places, to protect, adapt, or allocate rights of way old and elsewhere to implement our critical high-speed and commuter transportation needs, and to give Irene the respect that she's due by protecting us from her sisters and brothers that will inevitably continue to roll in from the sea. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
World Ocean Radio is a project of the World Ocean Observatory, online at www.thew2o.net. World Ocean Radio is produced in association with WERU Community Radio, Blue Hill, Maine.